love that little machine.
What?
Electric shaver check.
Yeah. We need to have Mr. Bojo use the shaver.
Yeah. How's he doing?
How's he doing?
You have a motive.
Growing a beard.
A motive?
A motive.
Chapter 1, Luke.
A motive.
We're in verse 3. We'll probably be here a day or two. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. We're talking about the word that's translated the very first here, or from the very first. It's anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N. It means of things from heaven, of things from outside of time, of things from the beginning. And so we're going to see how that's translated in other places. Let's go to Matthew 27. I'll try to do this in order in honor of Ronnie, but he's not here, but I will anyway.
Matthew 27.
We're studying this word, anothen. My fingers are so cold, I cannot operate the pages. All right, Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, this was the crucifixion. We have to wait for Mr. Buckner's sneeze.
Thank you very much.
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The word from the top is anothen. And it means the obviously it was from the top of the veil that was torn, but it has a double meaning that it was torn from heaven. Remember when we studied this before, it's impossible for this veil was 18 inches thick of these monster cords, and it rent from the top to the bottom. That's impossible. If there was an earthquake, it would rent from the bottom up. So the point of this is the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and that signified the flesh of Christ. Now, once that veil was opened, all the people saw. What did they see in this Holy of Holies? They saw that there was no Ark of the Covenant. There was no Tables of the Covenant. There were no Aaron's rod. There was no manna from heaven. There were no cherubim. What did this signify? They had all the people thought all that was in there.
There was only Christ
in them.
There was only Christ in his.
Right, but the point of it is they saw that their religion and what the elders and preacher or teachers had been teaching them was a sham. Because the veil, the Ark of the Covenant, hadn't been there since Jeremiah stole it away. Well, it's as big as you get.
And it's really amazing.
Because everything, there's no such thing as synagogue Judaism. There is no such thing as rabbinic authority. But that's what the Jewish race and the Jewish religion today is based on. If the ark, if the sacrifice wasn't made on Yom Kippur and the whole priest went in under the, then the world was destroyed from the standpoint of the Jews. They still did that ceremony, but there was nothing in there. That's, you can't get any bigger.
Yeah, because everybody's entire life.
Their structure.
That was their structure, their foundation, the whole thing.
And so what we have now is rabbinic Judaism. So instead of sending out a scapegoat, they hold a chicken over your head. It's a sham.
I thought it was just a joke, you know.
No, it's not a joke. It's a sham. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone, but it's true.
Sounds almost more like voodoo.
What?
That sounds more like something in New Orleans, voodoo.
Well, now let's go to John 19. Well, anything like that, which is fake, is really it's really a type of sorcery. Because the fundamental aspect of the religion is faked. That's why that's what the word blasphemy means. You denied the foundation. The foundation of Judaism has always been Messiah. And every law, every jot and tittle, every ceremony pointed to him. But then they made it into a religion, just like everybody else, with every other religion.
And it was exclusive, and it was theirs only. We studied about Paul last night with the sheep being let down.
Amen.
And now the Gentiles are included. Well, now we don't want to include them.
Yeah. All right, John 19. Yeah, that didn't make any sense. Never mind. Let's go to John chapter 1. I think we studied that yesterday, but we'll do it again. Well, I'm going to read. I just love this first part, so I'm going to read it, but we're not going to study until we get to verse 13, okay? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, see, I mean, John doesn't pay any attention to genealogies. He shows always the resurrected Christ, even from the beginning, the first Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now I promise you, each one of you are sent to bear witness of that light. The only way you bear witness of that light is to show the darkness of everything else. And that, people do not like that. Remember, with stammering lips, another tongue will I speak unto this people. Remember that word stammering, with mocking lips. Oh, you can't do that. Screw you. I didn't say that. I'm sorry.
Rewind.
What?
Edit.
What did he say?
He said rewind.
I don't care if it's on there. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become, or the efficacy, or the ability to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, that when I was in the radio and people would talk about making a decision for Christ or accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, I would always read that scripture, not by the will of the flesh nor by the will of man. How can you make a decision? The only way you can make a decision is by your own will. That's why this mystery of God about the 42 months is so important. Christ was baptized, signifying his death and the end and his burial. 42 months later, he was crucified. It was the end. And you start out, many people, probably most, start out by believing in him. They accept him, that he was their personal Savior. That's believing in him, but it's not the issue. And the 42 months is the time it takes for sanctification, for you to see that you're dead and you died with him on the cross. It's the difference between living by the faith in him and living by the faith of him. The faith in him is childish because by definition you're still in the world. You may preach that your sin is forgiven, but you have no understanding of the majesty and completeness of his work. And that's what my whole purpose is, just to show you that your warfare is over. You have no more issues except your mind. Amen? So now, that was a predicate for studying. Now I'll go to John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That means he was in the Sanhedrin. He was one of the 70 or 72, I forgot. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now the word born again, the word again there is anathem. It was translated as from the very beginning, from above or from the beginning. Unless a man is born from above, unless a man is born from outside of time. So when people say they're born again, they don't know what it means, because it should be born from above, born from the very beginning, born from the entrance of time into eternity. Everybody understand a little bit? Remember, we've talked often about how on Pentecost, the New Jerusalem came down. John saw it. And it came down and never went back up. So now all of time is passing through from west to east. All of time is passing through, and only that which came from above can remain in that temple. Everything else goes out the east gate, Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom, the dump. So the only part of us that has any merit to God is that which has been transfigured and transformed, where the Word has been made flesh in you. Boom. And then you become one of the cells in this beautiful mystery of the bride.
What is that word you say sometimes, that you say it's from the first estate?
From the first estate. That's what that means. Again, that's what the word we're studying here is, again. It means here from the very first. So when Luke is saying he had perfect understanding from the very first. He didn't use a word that means the first in when Jesus was first born. He used the word from above or from the beginning of time. That's a biggie. Now, I don't know why they translated it as again in here what we're reading right now.
Let me ask a question, please. Tying this to making a decision for Christ. There's a transaction somewhere that takes place, and making the decision, it's not really making a, well, I think it's a good idea, I'm going to try it out. It's when you see this and don't resist it, but embrace it, then that's the beginning of the experience of salvation.
Right, that's, you're getting out of the world. But if you're still in that period between baptism and the cross, then that period of time is called Babylon. Mm-hmm. And so you must have an exodus, not just from the world, but from Babylon, from cause and effect.
So the initiation into Babylon, let's say, is to stop resisting the divine impulse, and then at some point the cross...
Well, again, but remember, the only reason for any time differential there is rebellion. Let's go to Galatians 2.
I'm going to pin down this point again. What initiates the action?
Well, if there, well, let's see what it says in Galatians.
Our rebellion and rebellion and resistance pretty much the same thing.
Well, they're both evil. Both kathos. Kathos. All right. First, verse 16, chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now here, the law isn't just the Jewish law. It's the law of cause and effect, the reward and punishment. So you start out believing in him. Most people do. And then you end up being justified by the faith of him. And so from verse 16 down through the end of the chapter is really this thing you're talking about. Now listen. Verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So what that means is if you have this experience. You can call it born again or whatever you want to call it. But you have that experience. But if you then build again your own life, which was destroyed, then you make yourself the transgressor.
So this is religion right here. You're building your life again, but with God's name on it.
Right.
Based on an experience. Of,
right.
Of revelation. So to have existed from the first estate, has to be a spark like you.
It has to be the death.
And then is that would be then the real beginning.
Right.
So just going to church.
Your death is the beginning, because that's the revelation of Christ in you.
Yeah.
Not your death whenever you're going to physically die, but your reckoning that you were crucified with Christ on the cross. And then you're only justified now by his resurrection. And that's your life.
And that only takes place by your abandonment and denial of self.
Total repentance.
That's it. Thank
you. All right?
Yeah.
But we're not done yet. Turn to Galatians.
Keep that thought.
For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now this is huge. This is what most people are doing in modern Christianity. You hear their testimonies. You hear the preaching of the preachers. They're building again the things which should have been destroyed in the initial thing, if they saw correctly. But now they're using the name of God to build up self-realization.
Better building. We're going to build a better
building. Yeah, we're going to build a better building. This is why this is so important. This is why, by the grace of God, I couldn't find a church. I went to, for those 3 or 4 years before we started, I went to every church I could find, every day that I could find it. And every single time that I heard a Bible study preacher or a teacher or the preaching in the Sunday telling me how to get something, even how to get saved, I got sick to my stomach and I had to leave. And I didn't know why I got sick because they said that then. But I got sick because they were trying to rebuild the things which I knew had been destroyed.
And trying to get saved, is, I've heard you say, is the faith in Christ in us, not our faith in Him.
Right. That's why there's a beginning. That's what we've just read. You start out. We believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. But you, in that transaction, if you're not justified by anything you do. You're not justified by coming to Bible study. You're not justified by your Seder group. You're not justified by memorizing the Bible. You're not justified becoming a preacher. You're not justified in anything except finally coming to the point where you live by the faith of Him.
Nothing about earning anything.
No. Now watch, this is just to be, we're still here. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. Now again, you got to hear, every time you hear law here, you think, well, that's this law over here, and it was speaking to the Jews. No, the word law is nomos, and it means the way a thing works. That's why this Torah, the Torah is spiritual, because it's the revelation of the Spirit. But our societal rules about how to do stuff and the ways of living and the ways of being and how to be polite and how to eat the right foods and all that crap is simply, in a very real sense, is building again the things that you destroy. Now watch. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto Christ, unto God, I mean. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now this is the key. This is a key to everything. Yet not I. Every time you get concerned about yourself in any dimension, always remember those words. Yet not I. And if you can hear that, then the silliness of little principles and doing things a certain way and all that, even earning a living, become nothing.
In a way, conformity is self-seeking.
Right. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That few verses were my anchor in the early years.
Huh? You took it seriously?
I took totally, yeah. Yet not I. Yet not I. And there were many crises. I wish I could speak English. Jeff called me erudite this morning, and I laughed at him.
I take it back.
All right. We haven't gotten to where we were going to get this morning. Back to John 3. All right. Verse 3. Verily, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now remember, that except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or must be born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's see how many more scriptures we have on this.
This whole
we're just at the first.
You've always kind of had a real problem with the decision for Christ.
Not always, I still do.
I know. And kind of seeing it, it's like it cheapens the experience. It distorts it.
Well, it gives you it's a false experience. It may be the beginning of a false experience that this Holy Spirit will use to destroy you. If you have any integrity, but most men don't have any integrity.
You couldn't say that you wish they didn't do that.
No, I'm glad they do it.
Yeah.
At least Christ is named.
Right, Christ is preached, and now they're in the game, so to say. And, now something real can confront them.
I sent Bruce a quote that I found yesterday about from Sartre, Jean-Paul Sartre. Is that how you pronounce his name, Sartre? I always want to say Sartre. But it says, I am weary of being an atheist. It's wearied me. It's wearied me out. All righty, anything else? Anything more clear, Mr. Bojo? Mr. Jeff?
All is clear.
Mr. Wade?
That's like the case of that, like, not by the works of the law. Not by the works of the law.
Yet normal. Not I. Yet not I. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You've gone past, way past faith in. The wind bloweth and you heareth, but you know not whence it come or where it's going. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's what makes life exciting. So if you're ever bored, the only reason a person can ever be bored is because they're not saying what's there. I promise you, if you always say what's there, you will never be bored. You'll make a few enemies. You won't be nice. Take it, big guy.
Can we meet early?
8:15, everybody?